Sunday, we're going to have a messages on Sunday morning on the Word of God and its importance in our life. And then Sunday night, the Word, Faith, and a Healing Service. So really be praying for the next few days about Sunday's church service. Father, we thank you today. Pray once again, bless Pastor Schaller in his journeys through Finland and Budapest, Hungary. Thank you for his life. We pray that you bless him, his family. Cover him. Give him wisdom, strength, preaching words, God, to edify people. Build him up. May his ministry continue to be a ministry of joy in Eastern Europe and in Europe. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Are you here tonight?
Yes.
I'm getting ready for Pastor Love to speak. Yeah, I'm kind of like the Baptist forerunner. But I'm just joking. 1 Thessalonians. This was a favorite verse, one of the most favorite verses in my life. And I was in Thessaloniki, I think, 6 times in Greece where this epistle was written to. Didn't see much there, to be very honest with you, but Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, tells them to do a lot of things that, I mean, it's impossible. You look at this and you read it, it's like, I can't do that. Just to give you a few of them, do not render evil for evil. Ever follow that which is good. Ever follow that which is good. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. Quench not the spirit. Approve all things. Abstain from all appearance of evil. You look at that and you go, what? How can that happen? But it doesn't happen without this verse. And it's 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he that calls you who will also do it. Amen? Faithful is he who calls you. So as God has called us into a fellowship in 1 Corinthians 1:9 with his dear son, and he's called us to a place to get to know God and to receive from him, that whatever God has put in front of us, he's going to do it. The big problem I have is trying to perform myself or trying to do it. Maybe God speaks to you about something, you know, in regards to his will or his purpose. Learn the Bible, love in the relationship and marriage, raising children, finances, health, praying, whatever it may be. And we look at it and we say, I just can't do that. And God says, I already know that. I already know you can't do it. That's why this is written, faithful is he who calls you, who will also do it. And actually, the also is not really even there. Faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. The direct connection between the one who calls and the one who does. Like, can you imagine if God called you to do something and then just said, I'll see you later? Yeah, I've called you to be, you know, to do this or to do that, and then I'll catch you when it's done. No, he says the one who calls you is the one who does it. What reminded me of this verse? I was in Kampala at the clock tower. You know where the clock tower is, Pastor Eugene?
Yep.
Linda, you know where the clock tower is? Remember the clock tower in Kampala. It was quite an incredible place. I think even the Georgias were there once, right? You remember the Kampala clock tower. And we were evangelizing, and I gave a track to a guy. He's walking by. He took the track. He said, oh, Jesus Christ. I said, yeah. He said, watch this. He says, watch this, idiot, along with a few other expletives. And he just took it and threw it. I looked at him, my wonderful temperament based on God. And I said to myself, that's interesting. So I went and I picked up the track. I'm not going to do that right now. I'm going to leave that there so somebody else can get it. I went and picked up the track, and I just decided to chase this man a little further. And I said, here, wait. He goes, what, are you crazy? He says, I threw that in the ground, and his mouth was like a sewer. It was like a sewer. And I said, just take it and read it, or I'm going to follow you all the way home. And he knew that I would follow him right to his door. So he took the track. This is what he said to me. I read the track about maybe another couple hundred yards away from you. I didn't want you to see me reading it. I prayed the prayer, I got saved. He's a Great of Grace pastor now with 200 people in his church. Pastor Emmy, am I right? That's 200 people in the church. You know what? I didn't believe it. I wasn't thinking it was going to happen, but God is what? God is faithful. Faithful is he who calls you, who will what? Also do it. When we think about our financial situation, we think about health issues, we think about relationships, we think about this world that we're living in as believers that we need to desire to be a light on in this world. And we realize, like, what God is saying here to me, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, never render evil for evil, abstain from all appearance of evil, ever follow that which is good, holy, be sanctified, holy, body, soul, and spirit. And we say, I can't do that. God says, I know you can't do that. That's why I called you to myself. And I'm going to do it. Well, I have a hard time learning. I remember the first week of Bible school in 1986, in 87, teaching the Bible in West Africa. And people were actually literally shaking because they were exposed to a certain educational system in West Africa, not the American one, but another one. And they feared learning. Why? Because when you were in that system, you had to learn. And if you didn't pass a test, you'd stay in the third grade forever. You'd be 22 years old in the third grade. Because you didn't pass on that form or those tests that were given to you. So they feared school and they feared tests. And I just got up, I think the first class, and said, everybody gets an A. They said, ha, 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 ha. I said, I'm not joking. Everybody has an A if you're sitting here. You get an A plus. I don't know what the plus is for, but it's something. And really, God was so faithful. How many graduates we've had? Right now we have 1,750 students in 46 Bible schools in Africa. And you know what's happened? They have seen a faithful God, and he's faithful. And you know what? We look sometimes, we look at this life, and I was thinking to myself, like, God is eternally faithful. That means God's going to do the work, even if it takes till you go home to be with him. Isn't that good? You look at somebody and you think, will they ever get it together? And you pray for them and you're concerned about them. You weep over them. You think about them. You know what? One day they're going to be perfected. Oh, I don't know. This life is a vapor, by the way. Did you know that? James chapter 4, 14 and 15. It's a vapor. So when the vapor's gone, they'll be perfect in Christ. Isn't that great? Perfect marriage, perfect person, perfection in heaven. Why? Because faithful is he who what? Calls you who will also do it. Two men called me today. It was very unusual. I talked to these two men today, and they're both from Massachusetts. And one of them said, I'm calling you because I know if you tell people in Greater Grace to pray for my situation, that God's going to heal me. Now, I haven't like pastored these people since 1988. That's 29 years ago or 30 years ago. And then the other one called me. It was the same thing. I got a situation with my heart. Will you pray? And will you tell people to pray for us, Eddie Narcis and Joe Rama? Some of you know Joe Rama. Of course you do. And you know what? They said, please, would you please tell the church to pray for us? Because we believe that God will hear your prayers. And I thought about the faithfulness of God in those two lives. Faithful is he, Abraham, from Genesis 12 to Genesis 15 to Genesis 17 to Genesis 22. Different manifestations that God would reveal himself to him. And God is faithful. You got some issues, you know. I didn't even realize when I was in Ghana that I needed a visa. I mean, somebody told me that about the fourth year. I'm like, oh, really? Yeah, that's interesting. I just would go in and out of the country, and they'd stamp it. And you again, yes, me again. You again, yes, me again. You again, yes, me again. Of course, some of the borders were kind of interesting. You know, there'd be a guy hung over with a beer bottle in his hand, with a beer bottle in one hand and a stamp in the other hand. Stamp you in. That went on for a long time. But you know what happened? Never got deported. God is what? God is faithful. God is faithful in your life. in your marriage, in your relationship, as a single person, whatever's going on, okay? Whatever's going on, whatever's taking place, whatever sight shows you, don't buy it. All right? We don't walk by what? 2 Corinthians 5:7. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith in the faithful one. And it's awesome. God will take care of it. I just need to relax. He throws the track down. You know? Here's the track. And I follow you on. Look what happens to the individual. Think about the faithfulness of God to Pastor Stevens, all the way from Maine. Think about the faithfulness of God in the life of Pastor Schaller. And we see men who have seen a faithful God. And they have followed the faithful God and received from a faithful God. And we just believe God tonight. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness. We're going to see it in 2018, 19, 20, 2030, 2008. Caleb said, I'm 85 years old. Ha! 85. Give me this mountain. Is that all right? I'm getting old. Shut up. You're not getting old. You're eternal. Faithful is what? He. Now, it doesn't say faithful is me. It doesn't say faithful is you. It says faithful is he who called you. And what will he do? He'll also do it. The called and the do are absolutely one. The conjunction that forms them between, they're both one. Faithful is he who calls, who will also do it. Father, thank you tonight. We pray for the message to come. We thank you for this ministry. We thank you for your faithfulness to your word, to your grace, your mercy, faithful love, faithful purpose, faithful church, faithful outreaches, faithfulness. This is the attribute of God that stands above all others. Because if God is love and he's not faithful, we're in trouble. If God is merciful and he's not faithful, we're in trouble. If God is good and he's not faithful to be God, we got problems. But God is faithful. Every attribute of God is dipped into his faithfulness. And we thank you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for being so faithful to us. And that faithfulness is not, doesn't come with any conditions whatsoever, Lord, because we have learned over and over again that you are faithful even when we are not. And we're so grateful for that. You're a covenant-keeping God. And we worship you tonight from our hearts. Bless now this portion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, if you could turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Maybe some of you remember some years ago there was a movie made based on the true story about these fishermen that left the coast of Gloucester, Massachusetts, right? And in fact, my sister lives right there on Gloucester Harbor, and she knew these people that went out in this fishing boat because it was a good time of year to fish. There was a lot of money to be made as they went out deep into the North Atlantic waters, and only to realize that when they got out there, they were in the midst of what they were calling the perfect storm. Combination of factors, winds from, you know, the east and something coming down from the north, and probably a very typical northeaster, which is what they're all going to experience this weekend up in New England. Hopefully we're not going to get it so bad, but they're bracing for it. I said to my daughter on the phone today, I said, she lives on Nantucket Island, I says, they're going to get hit by 60-mile-an-hour winds, flooding, snow. I said, it's going to be incredible. And then she just said, and that's why I thank Jesus I'm in Hawaii right now. And I said, you picked a good time to go. A very good time to go. But I want to just think about it. That perfect storm that they experienced out there in the North Atlantic was a result of a number of combining factors. And my understanding was they when they were out in that fishing boat, the hurricane force winds, downpour of rain, together with some kind of a cold front driving all of it. And it resulted in disaster. All those men lost their lives. And it was incredible. And when you think about it, sometimes in life, potentially, the same thing can happen to us. Not with the meteorological factors involved, but think about it. When we think that we can deal with one disaster that comes into our lives, and I think that most of us could say, okay, Lord, I can deal with this. It's a little over the top. It's more than I can seemingly handle, but yet, you know, you're with me, and I know that I'll get through it. But then it's combined with something else, right? Maybe it's something like, you know, the marriage is in trouble, and at the same time, there's a job layoff, and you lose your employment. And then someone in the family gets very sick, and the doctor calls you and gives you the bad news. And then the results. What is it really? It's like a perfect storm. I remember speaking with a good friend years ago, and I think that's what happened to him. You know, there was trouble in his home and trouble in his marriage. And then he got a cancer diagnosis from the doctor. And then all of his children seemed to at the same time go wayward. I mean, all of that happened at one time. And I remember thinking to myself, he's in the perfect storm. How's he going to get through it? How's he going to manage? It's one thing to have those things come into your life in an isolated fashion, but when they're all combined, it really is like the perfect storm. And we ask this question, am I going to make it? Will I survive? My faith going to hold up, or is my faith going to fold up? You wonder. You ask those kinds of questions. Paul said something fascinating when he wrote to the church at Philippi. And he started out in that fourth chapter by saying this. I want you to rejoice, in verse 4, in the Lord always. And again, he repeated it, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. I don't want you to be anxious for anything. But in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then listen what the promise is. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Wow. That answers the question. Will we get through it? Will we survive the perfect storms that may come into our lives? And Paul says, you know what? God says he's going to give you his peace. A peace that passes all understanding, and a peace that promises to build like a fortress around your hearts, a fortress around our minds. I mean, just think about what our role is in the responsibility of experiencing that kind of peace. He said, just rejoice, just keep rejoicing, pursue a gentle spirit, pray about everything, and we know that when those kinds of disasters strike, that's what we do. We cry out unto the Lord. We come before him. And sometimes those prayers are not pretty. They're not eloquent. There's not a lot of, you know, theological words involved. Maybe it's just a groaning that comes forth from our heart that's perfectly interpreted by the Holy Spirit in Romans 8:26. Or maybe it's just a cry out for help. Or maybe it's just, Lord, look at my situation. I can't do a thing about it, but I know you can. And I'm trusting you. And then cling to gratitude. And then he says, and you're gonna experience the peace that comes from God. You think about it. He says, this is the peace of God. Now remember, when we were saved, when we were justified, all of a sudden we went from being at war with God in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, to experiencing peace with God. Every believer has peace with God. But when the storms of life surround us, when the perfect storm settles in around us, that's when we need the peace of God. We need the peace from God. In other words, Paul is saying here that this is the same peace that God himself enjoys. And it comes into my life, into your life, into our world. That's incredible. Imagine, do you think that there's any anxiety in the throne room of heaven? Do you think that there's any worry or fear or fretting that goes on in the presence of God? No, there's peace there because God resides there. And what he promises the Apostle Paul and what he promises all of us is that we can enjoy that same peace that comes from God. It's like God saying, this is my peace, the kind of peace that I enjoy, and I'm going to give it to you. And I'm going to get you through. It means that when we should be worried, we're not. When we should be troubled, we're not. When we should be angry and upset, we're not. When we should be fearful, we're not. How is that possible? Again, because it's God's peace. And it passes. I love that word. It means it's higher in its quality. It's superior kind of peace. It's not the kind of peace that we might have at the end of a day when maybe there's nobody home and it's nice and quiet and we have a few still moments. No, we're talking about the kind of peace that God himself enjoys in the presence of his throne room. And he says, I can give it to you. And I think that that peace is a gift, just like everything that God gives. I love it. James describes it in James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, comes from God, the Father of lights, with whom there is neither variableness, neither shadow of turning. In other words, this is the God that is faithful, that doesn't change, as Pastor Schiavelli shared tonight. Jesus even put it this way in John chapter 14, verse 27. He talked about this kind of peace. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace, that's what he said. My peace I give to you. That's incredible. Think about the peace that Jesus enjoys. I mean, was he troubled when he was in the presence of Pontius Pilate? He was not. Was he troubled when Judas led soldiers into the garden to arrest him? He wasn't. In fact, Jesus stepped up and he asked the soldiers when they came into the garden, he said, who is it that you're looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Remember, he answered and he said, I am he. And all of a sudden they fell backwards to the ground. Does that sound like somebody that's panicking? If he was fearful, if he was panicking, he would have said, oh, Jesus, oh, I'm sorry, you just missed him. He was here a couple of minutes ago. I don't know. Just check in the back of the woods and then grab the disciples and say, let's go, guys, get out of here. It's not what he did. He said, I am he. And then they all stood up again. He said, I asked you, who are you looking for? They said, Jesus. He said, I told you, I am he. I'm the one you're looking for. You see all these other guys? Let them go. And then they said, yes, sir. Is there anything else you need? Peace. Jesus said, my peace I give you. And I do not give it to you as the world gives you. Don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. And then he promises through the Apostle Paul, he said, this peace is going to guard your hearts, guard your minds. It's almost like God takes responsibility for our hearts and minds when we trust him this way, when we believe him like this. He said, that's my responsibility to usher in my peace in the midst of your perfect storm. How about that? When you go through your perfect storm, what does God offer? His perfect peace. Amazing. But that's our God. He'll construct a fortress, imagine, around our hearts, around our minds. And sometimes, friends, don't we need a fortress around our minds? Sometimes our thoughts run wild. Every thought out there seems to kind of want to land on the tarmac of our souls. And we just have to say, wait a minute, I can't let that happen. Lord, you got to help me here. And God says, don't you worry about it. I'll be there. I'll protect you from those kinds of thoughts. I'll protect you from the attacks of the devil. And I'll protect you even in the midst of the storms of life, the perfect storms. It's like coming into service tonight, listening to the music outside that kind of bids you to come into the chapel. It's Martin Luther's song, isn't it? It's a mighty fortress. Listen to it. As I was coming in tonight, I thought, that's it. That's the song. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. That's God. He says, I'm going to step up when you need me the most. And when you find yourself not just in a storm, but in a combination of storms, when they all seem to come together in a perfect way, and it looks like you're going to be taken out. God says, that's all you got to do. We say, what's your part? Well, I'm going to rejoice. I'm just going to celebrate who God is. I'm going to celebrate Jesus all the time, even when I don't feel like it, because he's not talking about having happiness. He's talking about real joy that he gives to us as we learn to abide in him. And we just follow those simple instructions, cling to God, pray about everything, and just have this amazing attitude of thanksgiving. And we begin to see that peace ushered into our lives, guiding us, governing us, protecting us. You know, Paul, he spoke from experience. You want to know why? Because in Acts chapter 27, guess what? He went through a perfect storm. On that ship that left Caesarea, was on its way to Italy, Paul warned them about this journey. He told the people, and remember, you know, he's on the ship and he's telling them, you know what, we shouldn't take this journey. I'm warning you. I'm just giving you a heads up. God has kind of given me a message. And they're looking at him like, are you kidding me? You're nothing but a little Jewish preacher. And we know how to navigate through waters. And we've done it all of our lives. And you're trying to tell us not to take this journey? Sit down and be a good prisoner. So Paul just sits there quietly. And not long into that journey, in Acts chapter 27, I love it. There's an interesting word that's used. It says they ran into what's called Euroclydon. You know what the Euroclydon is? A perfect storm. Meteorologists tell us it was a Greek word that describes this strong east wind together with a great north wind. And Paul was in the midst of a nor'easter, a regular New England nor'easter, but it was in the Mediterranean Sea. Euroclydon. Listen, you're going to have Euroclydon in your life. Euroclydon is on its way. Not in the form of snow or sleet or rain or winds, but in the form of challenges that overwhelm us, that test the very metal of our faith. They're coming. There's no question about it. And we've got to be, again, armed with every provision that comes from God, His grace, His mercy, filled with His Holy Spirit, and the amazing peace that He will give us when those storms come. It's His promise. The components, Paul said, of this perfect storm were all in place. A winter sea, a ferocious wind, an overloaded boat, which we read that in Acts 27, and an impatient crew. The Bible says in Acts chapter 27 that this storm lasted for 14 days. How about that? 14 days. I mean, I've been on a little boat for 14 minutes and I get sick. 14 days. And did it take its toll? You bet it did. The result was all hope was lost. Can you imagine that? And I want to turn over there. Acts chapter 27. Turn there if you would. It's a fascinating story. Paul's perfect storm. Again, you know, the mariners, they knew how to sail through these kinds of storms. They had experience. But even they gave up hope. And then all of a sudden, the little Jewish preacher that they didn't want to hear from earlier, now he stands up. And he speaks in such a way that he's giving them courage in the midst of all that they're going through. Verse 21 says, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them. And he said, sirs, you got to like this. He said, you should have listened to me. You should have hearkened unto me. Should have not loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. I mean, if he left it right there, you know, you would have had a desperate crew without hope. They would have become even more desperate. Maybe turned their frustration and directed it toward the Apostle Paul. But he didn't stop there. And sometimes God does this with us too. Sometimes we get a little rebuke from God and he said, listen, I told you not to. I gave you warnings. I told you that sex before marriage was wrong and it would hurt you and it would destroy your capacity to have a healthy, long life and enjoy a marriage that takes you long, long, long into the future. I told you, but you didn't listen. I told you not to make those foolish decisions. I told you to stay clear of alcohol. I told you to stay clear of a wrong crowd. And sometimes we just don't heed, do we? Sometimes we just don't listen. Paul said, you should have listened to me. But look at verse 22. But now I exhort you, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, just the ship. There stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. I don't know how encouraging those words were to these guys. Yeah, listen, no one will die. Oh, thank God. But we won't have a ship when it's all over. Oh, all right. I mean, what did Paul know that they didn't know? And what did he say that maybe we need to hear when we go through our perfect storms in life? And what is it? It's this, that when fear comes at you at all sides and in every direction, let God speak to your heart. Let him produce the peace that passes all understanding. Because, you know, we are all so much like the sailors. God spoke, but so often we just don't listen. And then sometimes we have to reap the consequences of our bad decisions. Well, what do? When we experience that kind of, well, reaping what we've sown, what do? Maybe we just learn some things, amen? We learn to be wiser next time. Praise God, it's never over. You know, that's why I love 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. The Apostle John says this. He said, my little children, I write unto you that you don't sin. And it's like, imagine if he left it right there. Imagine if that was all he said. He said, little children, don't sin. I mean, we would all be like, thank you, John. Appreciate that very much. But it's a little too late. But you know what he says? The next verse. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And he is a propitiation for our sins, but not for ours only, for the sins of the whole world. That's like God saying, listen, don't sin. Of course he doesn't want us to. We say, you know, people say, why shouldn't we sin? Because God's a great killjoy and he doesn't want us to have fun and he doesn't want us to enjoy ourselves and to do the things. No, he doesn't want us to sin because he's seen the catastrophe of sin. He's seen the results of sin. He's seen the heartache of sin and the pain of sin and the suffering that sin produces. He's seen it and he knows where it leads. But he also says this along with don't sin. But if you do, don't despair. Never despair, because it's not over. It's not over. It wasn't over for these men either. Even though Paul's first thing was, listen, should have listened to me. Now you're in big trouble. Now you're all going to drown. He didn't say that. He said there will be no loss of life. Why? Because he had God's promises. And look at what his promises were. Verse 23, he said, heaven has sent helpers to help you. That's what Paul said to them. He said, An angel came. Imagine that, an angel. Maybe it was the angel of the Lord. Maybe it was the Lord himself who appears so often in the Old Testament. Maybe he came. But we know this in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, that angels still minister to the heirs of salvation. That's you and me. And sometimes that's what God does. He sends angels. He sends helpers. He did it with Paul here. He did it with Daniel in Daniel, the 10th chapter. Remember, Daniel prayed for 3 straight weeks and he must have wondered, why aren't my prayers getting through to God? Why hasn't he answered those prayers? Why hasn't he come and done the things that I've asked him to do? And then, of course, after 3, an angel showed up and said, listen, I want you to know something, Daniel. Your prayers have been heard. Fact of the matter is, the moment you spoke them, God heard them. And we were hindered with satanic opposition before we got these answers to you. But we want you to know that God heard you, and he showed up. You see, angels are involved in our lives. We sometimes miss them. We don't recognize them. But believe me, heaven has sent us some help. And it's always there. I mean, God said to Daniel, I want you to know that your prayers were heard and angels have been dispatched to you. They were hindered along the way, but they finally got to you. It's almost like God says, in your worst moments, don't you worry about it. Reinforcements are on the way. And it's something that we need to hear. Because during the moments of that perfect storm, we start to wonder, am I going to get through this? Am I going to survive? Am I going to make it to the end? God's promise is yes. And I love it. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 25, God says that, I will contend with him who contends with you. That's like God saying, I'm going to stand up and fight for you. If somebody's going to get in your way, if somebody's going to seek to do you harm, if somebody's going to try to hinder what I want to do in your life, then I'm going to stand up. And if they contend with you, they're going to have to contend with me because you belong to me. I've got your name carved into my hands. Very name. Yeah, tattoos on God's hands. Our names right there. That's how much he loves us. Just like the 3 Hebrew boys. Weren't they rescued in the midst of the king's fiery furnace in Daniel chapter 3? How about Peter in Acts chapter 12, verses 5 through 9? An angel escorted him right out of prison. And maybe whatever imprisons you or me maybe angels will be able to help you out of your bondage, out of whatever it is that you struggle with. God's got reinforcements, and he's always ready to send them. So Paul said, hey, heaven has sent helpers. Not only that, he said, heaven has a place for you. Because Paul said this, he said, I belong to God. I love that statement that he made. He said, I am God's. I belong to God. I'm his. It's got, you know, when I read that, all I could think about is like when we send campers to Camp Life, you know, you fill out all the forms and you fill out the medical form. But the most important signature on that form is a parent's signature basically saying, I will take responsibility ultimately for my child. In other words, if something happens, if he's on the, you know, flying through the zip line and all of a sudden a goose hits him and, you know, an arm falls off, I will come and get my child. And because if we don't get that signature from a parent, then that child can't go to camp. You know what God did? God signed our papers saying, in effect, I take full responsibility for my children. And I will be there to receive them. And I will be there to protect them. And I will be there to get them through the perfect storms of life. He signed on for every single one of us. Praise God. He's the good shepherd. Where is sheep? He's the bridegroom. We're his bride. You're his child, and he's our father. Thank God for that. That's how we can have peace in our storm. And then the third thing Paul said was this. He said, you are in God's service. He said, this is God who I serve. I love that. It's like God gave Paul an assignment. You know what his assignment was? Paul, you're going to preach in Rome. You're going to share the gospel to Rome. So he's going to get there. Just like you and I, whatever it is that God has designed for us, whatever it is that God has purposed for our lives, we're going to get there. We're going to be invincible until that purpose is experienced and fulfilled in our lives. You know, you're not going to live a day longer than God has designed, but you're not going to be taken out any earlier until God is ready to take you out, until you fulfill his purpose. He's got a purpose, he's got a plan for us to accomplish, and he's going to make sure that he will keep us alive until it's accomplished. Amen? He's going to do that. I love the psalmist in Psalm 139, verse 16. He said, all the days planned for me were written in your book before I was even born. That's God. We'll still have our share of problems. There's no question about that. Again, Paul said it to them. He said, listen, no loss of life, but only the ship. And you know what? It's not easy to lose our ship, is it? Maybe the ship is the vessel that carries you. It's that which sustains you, protects you, supports you. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your body, your physical body, your business. You know, you stayed afloat while you had it, and then all of a sudden it's gone. And you think, I'm going to sink. It's over. And truth be told, you might sink for a little while. It might be a turbulent time. It might look like it's over, but praise God, you know, Jesus told us this. He said, you know, in the world, you're going to have lots of trouble. But remember what he said, but be brave because I have defeated the world in John 16, 33. Which kind of reminds me of this fact that we can lose it all. It's possible. I hope it doesn't happen, but it's possible. Look what, they lost everything. But when I think about it, the boat and the ship that broke up, do you realize that it was the broken pieces of the boat is what saved them and allowed them to continue on with their lives? Sometimes it's the brokenness of our home, the brokenness of our marriage, the brokenness of our body, the brokenness of our business. It's the very brokenness that we fear and hope will never happen. But that it becomes the very thing that keeps us alive. It keeps us going. It sustains us. It gets us through. You can lose it all, but only to discover that you haven't lost it all. Because you've got God. And God has his promises. And thank God. Listen, he never promised us a life without storms. But he has promised us that he would be there to face them with us. That's the promise from God. I know, and I think maybe, I don't know, maybe I haven't had a perfect storm yet, but I'm sure I will. We've all had our share of storms. Maybe some of them haven't been what we've called perfect storms, but sometimes they've been overwhelming. But God's going to show up. God's going to be there. And when he shows up, he's going to show up with his grace. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, he's going to show up with new mercies to meet us every single morning. In Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, he's going to show up with his everlasting arms. And underneath those arms, they're going to support us. They're going to hold us. They're going to get us through. In Deuteronomy 33, 27. He's going to show up with his exceeding great and precious promises in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. And that's going to allow us to learn what it means to become a participator and a partaker of God's divine nature. And he's going to instill his character into our souls. And he's going to put metal, he's going to put iron in our hearts and minds. And he's going to develop our souls so that we can face the next challenge that awaits us down the road. He's going to meet us with his power to preserve us. He's just going to show up. I close with this. I read this story about a mom and dad with their two-year-old son. They got in the car. They closed the door, but apparently the car was moving so slow that the automatic door locks didn't kick in. Their two-year-old fell out of the car. And they ran over their own son. And they panicked. Father jumped out of the car immediately. He went. He grabbed him. I mean, I don't know how many thousands of pounds that automobile weighed, but it went over that little two-year-old boy. When they got into the hospital, there wasn't a bone broken in his body. All he had were some cuts and bruises. And that night, when he went home, they actually released him from the hospital. He went home that night. His mother was lying in a bed beside him, and she was just thanking God. And she thought he was sleeping as she was thanking God. And he said, Mom, do you know that Jesus saved me? She said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, I saw him. He came down with these big brown hands. That's what he said. He said, what did he do next? He said, he just kind of picked me up and he held me. And I just turned to him and I just said, thank you. And Jesus said, you're very welcome. And his mother said, did he say anything else? He said, no. And he said, good night, Mom. That was it. But his final words were, Jesus caught me. Jesus caught me. He held me. I mean, for a parent, that's a perfect storm. But you know what God gave them in the midst of it? Perfect peace. That's his promise. And it's his promise to you and I. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we ask you to encourage our hearts with everything that we've heard tonight in the service. We want to give this invitation to anyone here that may be joining us tonight. Maybe it's your first time here. Maybe you've been here before but have hesitated to make a decision to trust Christ. Well, when you put your heart in his hands, that is the safest thing you will ever do with your heart. When you give him your life, he signs on and takes responsibility to be there for you, to care for you, to carry you, to catch you, to meet your every need, to give you his perfect peace, even when you go through a perfect storm. So tonight, if you're here and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, do it now. Do it right this moment. Say, Jesus, come into my heart and live. Save my soul. I'm trusting you. I'm believing on you. I'm receiving the gift of eternal life. Cleanse me of my sins. Remove me from a guilty past. And give me and bring me into the liberty of the children of God. If you're here tonight, you said that prayer. Just put your hand up. Say, Jesus, I'm trusting you. I'm believing on you. Save my soul tonight, right now, this moment. Father, thank you for gathering us together this night, and really protect us in the next couple of days with foul weather that comes. And just thank you, Lord, that it's just weather. but we're held firmly in your grasp. And we know that, you know, meteorological storms are nothing compared to some of the storms that we'll face in our lives. But we thank you that every time we'll meet a storm, you'll be there with us. You'll get us through. And again, if it's a perfect storm, we can count on your perfect peace. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.